Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Listen, I'm really excited today. We're starting a brand new... I'm really excited all the time, but I'm really excited today. We're starting a brand new... message series for our Easter series called Let There Be Light. And the reason is, the main reason is because the world that we live in needs light. Would anybody agree? Would somebody agree? And so make sure that when I'm preaching here this morning that, you know, if you don't want me to repeat myself and you don't want me to get boring, you just need to say amen. All right? So how many people don't want me to repeat myself or get boring? Amen. Yeah, there you go. Okay. I'm a little bit insulted, Duncan, about how passionate your amen was at that point. But that's fine. That's fine. Somebody escort him out, please. No, that's awesome. So I just love it when you're agreeing with the word. When you got to agree with the word. And you agree with the word. It gets in you. Take notes and get ready. But let's open up for the Let There Be Light thing. This is the first four words that God... that's recorded in the Bible of God speaking. The first four words that God spoke in the Bible. And let's just walk through a couple of little bits of Genesis chapter 1. The very first chapter that is recorded in Holy Scripture. Turn there, get there on your phone or whatever. And we're going to read the first five verses. And it's going to encourage you. All right. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Sometimes you just need to slow down when you're reading scripture and just really take in, like, the orchestration of the words in the Bible are really so profound. And the fact that the first thing that is recorded in the Bible that God spoke is something about light is going to tell you something. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving in that time, was moving over, hovering over the waters, the Spirit of God. This is a good verse to explain the Trinity. And God said, let there be light. Huh. Let. How good is that word? Let there be. Some people, and you should be invited to let there be God in your life. When you go to work this week, let God in. Let there, the power of the word let. I mean, man, I'm not preaching on that today. Maybe we'll touch that next week. Let there be light, and he waited for a long time for it to happen. Anybody reading the Bible with me? Let there be light, and there was light. How good is that? Do you know that your God in heaven can't lie? And when he says your future is bright, it is bright. And when he says he's got a plan for you, there is a plan for you. When he said he created you for a purpose, there is a purpose for you. God can't lie. If he says that the pages in my Bible are red, he wouldn't be lying. Because he's a creative God. So the moment he says the pages in your Bible are red, they turn red. Whatever God says happens. And God's spoken a lot over your life, and God's spoken a lot over your future, and God's not a lying God, he's a truthful God, and if you can believe the Word of God over your life, that your life is built by the Word of God, and there's some Word of God that's getting preached today, and I really want you to understand that your future is bright and hopeful in him. So come on, yeah, thank you. I was thinking about repeating that whole thing. Don't know why you're still sitting here, Duncan. All right, so we're messing, it's all right. I love you so much. God saw that the light was good. God loves what he creates, and he says it's good. And when he created you, he actually said it was very good. So I don't know what you think about yourself, but God thinks a lot better about you than you probably think about yourself most of the time. And he separated light from darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. So he created some sense of order. Listen, the first point here is God created you. God created you. I feel the anointing just came in the room right now. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. You got to really get that into you. In the beginning, God created. Not in the beginning, a particle was. Not in the beginning there was a blob that started an evolutionary existence. Not in the beginning. It says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Before there was day and night, before there was time, outside of time, in the span of timelessness, there was God. For you to wrap your head around that is ridiculous. Your head, the moment that you start thinking about creation, the moment that you really try and stare into the stars in space, your mind ought to just blow. Just and that's why it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says that by faith we understand that the world was formed at God's command. And by faith you understand that your world is formed by God's command. If you understand that God existed in the beginning of time and that God created you, you get a sense of deep value. Somebody say value. You do. So I was sitting in an Uber with someone, and sometimes I have very interesting Uber rides. Even this morning, I met the chef of a restaurant that's like around the corner from our house, and I'm stoked because, you know, God gives these setup opportunities in Ubers. And so I'm talking to this guy, and we have a 20-minute drive, and he says to me, listen, and he's explaining to me his concept of his own life, and he says, I believe so, like I'm created and I breathe, I procreate and I pass on. Convicted, he said, listen, I know, like I told him that I go to church and that I'm a preacher and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I appreciate whatever that you have faith in, that you believe in God and everything like that. But it's for me, listen, this is what he believes about his life. Now, for me sitting in the back seat, all the value and purpose of existence just drained from my heart. And I started to really get a burden for this guy and think, man, I just extended the Uber trip like around Toronto just to try and make it like, no, I hate it sometimes when the car ride ends because we're only just starting to get somewhere. And I'm like, listen, before you drop me off, I need to tell you that you were created more than just to exist. And so if we believe and think about evolution evolving, that there was some time billions of years ago that a particle turned into something that turned into something. I'm not here to try and preach to you about evolution versus creation. I'm trying to tell you how much value that you have in understanding that your origin is God. And so if you evolved even over billions of years to a complex creature that you are today, and that's, you know, whatever, there's some value in that. That the conclusion of the past defines the conclusion of the future, and that you must be in a period of time where you're continuing to evolve. So what's your purpose? Is it to simply pass through this life a part of, a chapter of, a page of, an evolving process? God created you for more than that. And that the earth, God's the only thing that can create something out of nothing. The first words in the Bible wasn't communication, it was prophecy, it was creation. He wasn't talking to anyone, he was talking to nothing. And by his word, the only thing that existed was his word. The Bible says that the word existed before creation, the word was Jesus. And so the word was the only thing that existed. And out of the only thing that existed, God and his word, he created. God is the only one that can create something out of nothing. The earth can't create itself out of something. There has to be something. If you're going to create something, if you're going to create a house, you create it from a tree. So you've got to take something in order to create. You have creative power, but you don't have God's creative power. And so then you start to think, well, okay, so if in the beginning God created, that I actually start to get filled with amazing amounts of value. I have a 4-year-old son, and we have love competitions with each other where we try and tell each other who loves each other more. And he's got an understanding of things that are big, and I believe even as a 4-year-old, he somehow deep down inside understands his origin is God. I just point it out. I just draw it out of him. And so I would say to him, buddy, because we're reading this book and it like explains some like large concepts, and he just thinks in terms of, like, he just knows when it's big, it's just really big. So I love you all the way to the moon and all the way back, and I love you all the way down to your school and around your school like 100 times, and I love you all the way up the stairs, down the stairs, to your bedroom, back again. Buddy, that's how much I love you. And then he copies me and we have a competition. He copies some of the things I say, but he just beats me every time. And so he's like, I love you to the moon and back 100 times. and to the school and around to the teacher's office, like back home, up and down the stairs. And he always ends with this, which I love. He ends with, "And Daddy, I love," like, because to him, I'm bigger, like I'm huge. So when he looks at me, he looks at me like I look at the stars. Like, he's just like, wow, he's so big. And I never want to like tell him that's any different. Like, I'm like, yeah, your daddy's huge. You need to understand. I'm not all powerful, but I am very powerful. And so he ends, he's like, "And Daddy, I love you all the way up to as tall as you are, because you're huge." And I'm like, "That's right." And then I'm like, "Buddy, so where does God live?" He's like, "God lives in outer space. He believes God lives on the sun." And I'm like, "I don't know, whatever, sure." And I tell him, I'm like, "But God also lives in your heart." And he says, "Yes, he does, and God loves me." Even as a four-year-old, and you might be sitting here and you might be thinking in a cynical way, well, of course, you're a preacher, you're a Bible believer, you're just brainwashing your four-year-old, and of course he's going to believe what you're believing. No, no, no. I actually believe that because your origin is God, that there is a God print on the inside of you, that there is a part of every human being that knows this to be true. That understands that God created, that understand that God created you. And because you understand your origin is God and all the stars and the whole world and everything that he created, I believe God created an old earth, that he created seed and fruit. He created fruit that had seed in it for the potential of more fruit. And at the same time, he created seed with the potential of fruit. He created a tree that was 100 years old. At the same time, he created a little plant. He didn't create Adam as a baby. He created Adam as an adult and Eve as an adult. But they had the ability with womb and seed to produce more of a half. That's how creation started. And I believe that when God created, he had the power and the ability to create an old tree. So when you cut a tree and you see billions of years, you just see a lot of glory. When you cut through the layers of the earth and you try to explain science, you just see a lot of reason to give God glory. When you look through a telescope and you can't see the end of the universe, because when God said, "Let there be light," light started at the speed of light and never stopped, and the universe is continuously expanding. And as smart as we try and get, our mind at the end of the day ought to go poof. I'm just trying to tell you something, because if you don't understand that your origin is God, you have no idea how bright your future is. You have value. Why? Because God, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says this. It said, "Worthy, O Master, yes, our God, take the glory, the honor, the power. You created it all, and it was created because you wanted it." God didn't need you, but he wanted you. How insane is that thought? And God didn't need to create 70 million, trillion, trillion different types of flowers for you to enjoy, but he did. He didn't just create a rose, because he wants you to have enjoyment. And you're not the center of the universe. God put the universe around you to be the center. But when you understand that he is the center of you, then you understand, man, he created all this for our enjoyment. It's not like there's another planet somewhere else that Jesus didn't need to die for, because those human beings didn't mess up. You are it. This is the only planet. The universe, believe it or not, was surrounded by you for you to look back at it and say, "Oh my goodness, God, wow, you're amazing. And I love you and I believe in you," because he wanted it to be true. Some people are really in deep thought right now. I'm just trying to tell you that you have that much value. You have that much value that God would create for you as you to enjoy and then give him the glory. Point two, because we understand our origin is God, we understand our future is bright. It's like the universe is bookended with light. He said the very first thing that came out of his mouth shows us some character trait of God that we love. That the very first thing that came out of God was light. And that shows you the character traits of your future. So the very first thing that he creates was light. And at the end of time, you go to heaven. There's no darkness in heaven. All you get is light. Sometime in between, there's some dark moments. Amen. You're going to go through some dark moments. You're going to go through some valleys. You're going to go through some empty spaces, some formless times, and you're going to be a little bit confused at times. But I want to tell you that when Jesus died, he went into the darkest place in the darkest tomb, and Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the light, and he has all the power and all the authority. He is in the business of creating light. He is in the business of creating light. So no matter how dark your present seems, no matter how dark you see down into your future, no matter how dark your past was, I want to tell you that you serve the resurrection and the light, and that he, when he says, let there be light, it was a value statement of your future. It was an understanding of the characteristics of God. And it doesn't matter how empty and dark your present seems, that God has the ability to say, let there be light. What a great God we serve. Come on, give God some praise. You got to slow down a little bit and read the Bible and let it sink deep down into the inside of you, because I just see you today leaving this room filled with so much more purpose. There's some dark moments in between, but even he separated the day and night into a 24-hour period. And every single day that the sun rises is a reminder of a spiritual thing that God said. It doesn't matter when darkness hits that the sun is going to rise again. It's like he set up a 365-day-a-year reminder of his goodness. That at some point you're going to think it's 3 a.m. in the morning in this dark situation in your life, but you need to be reminded that the sun rises again. That the sun rises again. And the resurrection life and the power of Jesus is going to be celebrated on this stage next week when we see all these people get baptized. And you're going to be reminded again and again and again that it doesn't matter how dark my friend's world seems, my family's world seems, that God's hope is not limited to the extent of, you know, some sort of half together life, that it doesn't matter how dark it gets, they can find hope in Jesus. Am I preaching to somebody here today? I was reading an article this week of an 11-year-old in Washington, D.C. that was found by her mother that opened up the bedroom door, looked across the room, and hanging from the bunk bed was this 11-year-old's life. And this article absolutely rocked my world. The article said the mum ran over, tried to pry the belt away, had to cut the belt off 11-year-old daughter's life. What possesses an 11-year-old to think that there is no future, that there is no brightness, there is no hope from this point on, and the only thing that you can do today is to end your own life? Preteen suicide has gone up by 60% in North America over the last decade. And as I was looking into this, even in a four-month period, about a year ago, in the University of Guelph, four people took their own lives in a four-month period. People end their lives from mental illness and different things and lack of hope or whatever it is many times. But you want to argue with me why we preach a message like this at C3 Toronto? I want to tell you that the days right now are desperate. 11. And you get kind of numb to situations because you don't know her, you don't know her family, but imagine if you did. And then you start to draw the conclusion that you exist more than a paycheck. Your life matters more than for you to live it for yourself. That you see this, and because you carry the light from Jesus that's on the inside of you, every conversation that you have at work has the potential to carry the light of life in it. When you're in the Uber, you can carry the light of life. When you come in contact with your family members that don't know Jesus yet, you carry the characteristic and the DNA of God, the Creator God. You carry that light. When people meet you, they meet a part of God. And that's why you called to leave this place and become the light and go out and shed light and be light. And Catherine, I mean, like our premier said this past week, I read another article of them wanting to put $2 billion towards the rebuilding of mental health. And that's good. But my Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 9, it says that Jesus is the true light. And that there is something that tells me that even if it was $2 billion or $3 billion, and that's good and we should do that. But at the end of the day, what is really going to save a person is not a friendship, is not some money, is not some hug, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. That if it says Jesus is the true light, that insinuates there's false lights. And too many people are turning to false lights, even good lights. And a false light could even be a friendship, a romantic relationship, or something that somebody's a substance that somebody turns to, or something that tries to fill a void in their life that only Jesus can. Your origin was God. He created you to be in relationship with you. There isn't anything that can replace a relationship with Jesus. That's it. And when he comes in, he is the true light. In John chapter 8, and verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world, Jesus is talking, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That word darkness means to be void or to be ignorant to divine things. That there are people that are walking around ignorant of divinity. The people that you pass at work. There are people that walk around ignorant of divine things. Why would you bring that up, Pastor Sam? Why is that significant to today's preach? Because in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and there are people walking by us every day that have no idea that he exists to do that. There are people that we walk by day in and day out that have no idea that there is an enemy that's coming to steal life, to destroy hope, and kill off people's lives, even 11-year-olds. And if the enemy can get the big bony finger of religion pointing at the church, pointing at people of light, accusing the church of X, Y, and Z, and if he can stifle the work of the church, he can stifle what God says is a light lit bright like a city on a hill. And many of the people that point their finger at the church are Christians. And every time that happens, it's like, I mean, no church is perfect, but God wasn't looking for perfection to be an example of light. He said there's power in your testimony. And when God takes an imperfect person and puts his perfection, the perfection of his son in that imperfect person, and light comes into your world, as long as you're carrying Jesus, you're carrying perfection and you don't have to be perfect. And that's why as a church, as long as we carry Jesus, we never have to be perfect. And I'm so done with people accusing and criticizing and talking about the church all day long. You're wasting great breath and great space and good time for you to be going out there and reaching someone and snatching people from the grip of the enemy and bringing them into the kingdom of light. Stop talking about each other. Stop talking about ourselves and let's go out and be who we're called to be, salt and light. But the verse doesn't end there. In John 10:10, it says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to bring life and in its abundance. And that when you turn on a relationship with Jesus, you get a rich, amazing, life-filled, meaning-filled, awesome, incredible. It doesn't matter how dark things have been, but your future in Jesus becomes exceptionally bright. So many people are stumbling through life in Toronto, in the East End, in the West End, North York, anywhere, Hamilton, wherever you look, people are stumbling through. The Bible says is that the earth was formless. There was no order. People were trying to make it through life, but were tripping. You know, I can't even get to the bathroom at night without hurting my little toe. And people are walking through life with darkness because they don't have Jesus. How are they navigating the complexities of life? How are they navigating their relationships, their future, and their health? You got a message. You got a message. You've got Jesus. I'm just going to get the keys up if I can. The last thing that I want to zone right in on is God's Spirit brings life. It says that the earth was formless and empty and darkness, and the word formless, it means there was an order. There was an order in creation. And what I'm trying to do here today is I'm trying to say that you can trust God with the ordering of your future. You can trust God with the design of your life. That He designed you and created you, but you don't leave God as a baby. You walk life with the Creator God. That God created, in the beginning, God created, and He doesn't want to stop creating in your world. He wants to design your marriage. He wants to design how you father, how you mother. He wants to create your future. He wants to speak into your purpose and speak into your destiny. And you can trust God with the order of your days. You can trust God with the order of your future. You can trust God. You can put your life into the hands of God. Let me give you an illustration. When God created light, He didn't leave everything in chaos. He created day and night and He created order. What is day and night? It's the earth spinning on an axis. Do you know the earth spins at 1,600 kilometers an hour around its access point? Now, if I wanted to illustrate this further, I would get everybody in the room to stand up and spin around 10 times. Just so you can get dizzy. And be conscious that you're not dizzy right now. But you're spinning at 1,600, I mean, like you driving the car down the 401 at like 110 kilometers an hour, 140, 110, no, that's fast. It's crazy. The earth is suspended in outer space, but it's flying around the sun in an orbit that takes 365 days, at 110,000 kilometers an hour. I mean, if you're in an airplane, you're going 1,000 kilometers an hour. If you get in a rocket ship at something like 36,000 kilometers an hour, you are flying in outer space right now. Like, you could be sitting in Mexico, sipping on a Corona with a nice little breeze in your hair. But in fact, you're actually, you are flying in outer space. And you're not conscious of it half the time. Any of the time. And you never crash into the sun. The earth never goes boom into the sun. Oops, sorry. Didn't see you there. Like over thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, the earth's been spinning at 1,600 kilometers an hour and flying around the sun at 110,000. I'm only just beginning to explain how insanely big God is. God spoke creation into existence and put it in order. And then we ask the question, can God be trusted? I think if God can order, like suspend a planet into nothing, and it never, a little minor fraction of a correction of the planet, and we'd either all burn up or all freeze. It's like perfect. Your future in the hands of God, you can trust your loving Father. And what's crazy about how big He is He doesn't want to sit on a throne far off and just show off. He humbles Himself in the craziest way and wants to have daily intimate relationship with you. I'm trying to explain this to my 4-year-old and he gets it. I think somebody in this room gets it. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous, and don't be frightened, and don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God, who suspended the earth in space, who created all the stars, who spun the earth at 1,600 kilometers an hour and shot it around the sun at 100,000 kilometers an hour, that Lord, that God, that created everything before you ever existed, that will continue to create long after you're gone, that God is with you." And the Bible says over that formless space, the Spirit was moving. And I feel the Holy Spirit moving right now over some empty situations, over some darkness in some people's lives. And you think, man, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to move forward, how to put one foot in front of the other, how to get through tomorrow. You don't know. But I'm here to tell you, if you haven't been listening this whole time, that God does. That God does. And if you can have enough faith to put your life in the hands of God, then you don't have to be worried. You don't have to have fear. And you can be strong and very courageous. Amen? So with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, I just want to ask you, with nobody looking around, if there is anybody that wants to take this moment to begin a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you've made a decision like this before. Maybe you've invited Jesus into your heart, but for any reason, you've walked away from God. And you know, today is the day that you want to re-invite Him into your life. In a moment, not yet, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. Or maybe it's someone, and if you were to die tomorrow, that you wouldn't be 100% sure that you would go to heaven. The Bible says that Jesus is our assurance of salvation. And when you invite Him into your heart, you're assured. There should be no doubt in your life that you are going to the light that can be found in heaven. So with nobody looking around and every head bowed, who is there in this place? Today is the day. Could you slip up your hand so I can see it? Thank you. Who else is there?